Good evening. This is Roy Masters. As usual, if you're usually listening to me at this time, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays, West Coast time. I have been on the radio for 55 years and warned of you all those years what is happening now. The last several weeks, I said in 5 or 6, 4 or 5, 6 weeks, what you are seeing now is could be the end of this country. And the only chance that you can survive this attack on your mind, the betrayal of the Republicans and the Democrats, they are owned by the same foreign agency or locally planted here in America. You need to understand the game that's been played with you for the last several generations. It takes several generations to produce this kind of vitriolic, this kind of madness, an attack on the candidate that doesn't suit, the doesn't pass muster for the Republicans, who are no different. I use the term son of witch, and some of, there's another word for it, son of a witch and a witch, so to speak. There's another way of saying it, and it's on the tip of my tongue, and I dare not say it, but you know what I'm talking about. So when you get the son of witch and the witch and the son of witch, and you've got a husband and a wife, and then there's got the children, that's us. We're lost and we're screwed. But it has a deleterious effect on you. The effect that we have with the fight, the sick union that we now see has been going on all the time, the Republicans always giving in to the Democrats. You know, it's a strange thing. You say, why are they giving in? Why are they letting them use our money till its money's not worth anything anymore? See, then the Republicans never stood up for anything. That's because you see now that they're two sides of the same coin. And this is there's no parallel like this in history. Your country, if you don't understand what I'm going to try to tell you this evening, and I've been trying to tell you, it may be too late. It may be too late because there's not enough people listening and not enough people to grasp the essence, which you can learn in about 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, you find that most of your sicknesses go away. See, America is just full of sick people. I mean, when I say sick people, mental, emotional, and physical. There's hardly a family that doesn't take, well, hardly a person at all that doesn't, I have to reset myself. I think about 85% of the people in America are taking some kind of drug for their health, for their mental condition, et cetera, et cetera. And so what, do you understand that the drug, if you become dependent on it, is a form of hypnosis? And that's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that you're dealing with forces that understand your mind whereby you do not understand it. And you do not understand that you are no longer you. You're typecast people. You go to movies, don't you? Okay. And how do they pick the actors? They typecast. They clone or act out. They find a person who can act out the parson, the preacher, the phony preacher, and the wanton woman in the bar, etc., etc. All the different kinds of typesets, typecast people. And these people are just replacement of other people. They're not alive. And you're going to become one of those. You are already one of those, but you don't see it. And this is what I want to share with you today. But I will talk to you after the break, because I do want to take calls. I do have a cold. I've been up since 3:30 or 4:30.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, before I take my first call, which is a carryover from last night with Maria, I just want to remind my audience, loyal audience, thank you for your support, that all the things I have predicted have come true. You are about to lose your country. You're about to have a civil war. You're about to see a man who knows what he's doing and standing up against the system. And the system doesn't like it, all gone crazy. But then I have callers waiting. And the reason why I have to take these calls, because I'm able to explain to the caller, and every person that calls, I will say, speak the same way, because you have the same problem. And the problem is based upon something that you're unconscious of, that's controlling you. Nearly everybody on earth has that kind of program built in from the day you've been born. Yesterday I spoke to you about my wife, and when I first met her, I was able to tell her, you know, name of a mother. In the first day, sitting in my car, she had a headache. I was talking about this. And this is not a good thing. I sort of admitted the fault of that last night. But there's something to the subject matter of you being unconscious. Literally unconscious of what caused you to be a drug addict, drunk. You know, person with post-traumatic stress disorder. You just pick something and you don't understand. You could also have illnesses, and the illnesses also have a trigger. So there's something in you that's causing you to react and change your life to service something that you cannot see, usually another person. And then you struggle sometimes when you see that you have an adversary and you're reacting, and you try to get them to react, and it becomes a war. And so this is happening to you now. In other words, the government of the United States, if you can call them a government, are about to take you over. But it isn't just the left. It's the left and the right. The witch and the son of a witch. See that? And you can see why we've been deteriorating over the last several generations. And it's multiplying, and you've lost who you are. The average person, drinking, smoking, drugging, whatever it is, you're addicted, meaning you owe your life is is owned. You do not have a life. The drug addict does not have a life. He keeps himself unconscious because he's afraid of seeing what consciousness will bring. And I'm going to, now I'm going to talk to people calling in. Instead of giving you a lecture on politics and warfare, politics is another form of warfare, you see. All warfare is politics. Playing a game with you, with your minds, in mass, and creating wars, creating situations. And you fall for it, and you lose your loved ones, fighting and killing one another. And you do that in your home. Even your home will have, where you have one brother hating the other, sister, whatever it is. You've got this contest going on between mother, your wife, and your husband, and the kids are watching. And that's what I'm watching. I'm seeing all of a sudden the Republicans, which I've always known that. I always said that, you know, they're just like your mother and father, witches and sons of witches. Witches. I didn't use the B word. See, so. But now they're beginning to come up because what you got is a fresh breath of fresh air. Well, it seems that way. And it's awakening people. This voice, it wants to awaken you too. And this gentleman, I think he's going to make it. Because I can see that he understands the game. And he has a sporting chance. And you have a sporting chance. If you could understand this. And it's something you need to see about people. And so the only kinds of people you have are those who, this is the only kind of people, this is the one you are. Every person listening, we accept with a small number of people, but there's decency in all of you. There's decency in all of you because so you're bewildered by the fact that you have anxieties and people pushing on you and fighting and struggling and going along to get along and so on and so forth. All these features I just mentioned are caused by you overreacting, being pressured. And I will talk to my audience and talk to the callers. And in these calls, all of the things I've been saying just now, and I can never get to it because there's so many people calling in. But I will every now and then pop up my head and say, see, it's your overreaction that's making you give in. It's just that. Well, you say, well, how else can I be? You have to react. You have to have emotion. Well, that's all a lie. The emotions don't make you human. They make you inhuman and make you subject to the inhuman people who create emotions, who put feelings, their feelings into you. So when you get upset, their feelings are in you and then you are them. You're the extension of they are. And you can't live with them and you can't live without them. And that can be done on a great scale. Adolf Hitler did it. But there's also kinds of people like a Jesus, which you need to be. You always need a savior. Sooner or later you get a Reagan, a Ronald Reagan. And he came up and he had to take all that stuff. And one person overcome most of the people that we're talking about here. All right, so I'm going to show you, if I can. Now, let me make a caveat here. If I can. Because there's two kinds of people. One that knows there's something wrong, but cannot see where it's coming from inside themselves or outside themselves. Usually, it's a machinery that is triggered by a suggestion. And I'll talk to you about that, what suggestion is. It could be a photograph. It could be a backfiring of a bus for post-traumatic stress disorder soldier coming back from the front. It could be that, and all of a sudden the scenery changes, and all of a sudden that trigger, just the backfiring of a bus. The scenery comes around, practically, and you're jumping behind the sofa, and you've got a gun pointed at your wife. It was just a bang. And but you can't stop the bangs. And you keep getting upset with the bangs. And then you're so bad that you're being penetrated, reinforced. Just the bus going bang, backfiring. That's all it takes. Enough times to keep needling you to be upset. And you cannot control it. And the upset takes you further and further away from who you should be. And the pull, the strain of being stretched away from your consciousness, your soul, your spirit, your ability to see clearly for yourself, to be in control of your life. See, slowly but surely, you have that terrible anxiety. Because as every time that bus goes bang with the post-traumatic stress disorder, which you all have to some degree, see, you don't see that bang. You only see bang. You only hear a bang, and everything changes, and you start behaving. And your gun comes out, and you're pointing it towards your family, and the little voice says inside you, see, you should kill yourself if you're not careful. You're going to kill your own family, so you better kill yourself. That's what it does. It talks to you that way. See? And so it begins to have an identity. And so it's the identity of the kind of person that was able to get to them on the front. And we have war here. When you have a war with your wife, you have a war with your husband, you're angry with someone, your boss is mean. Well, the tone of the boss's voice, the cruelty, he just picks up where the other person, where your father, maybe your mother, did that to you. So if anybody has a tone of voice or looks like your father or wears a belt that he beat you with, so even though he's not doing it to you, the belt that looks like your dad is already a trigger and you don't notice the trigger. All of a sudden you got anxiety and you go get drunk. Just by the flash of that belt. That's all. And these are hidden. And so you are being manipulated in a very clever way. But if I can show you how to see what triggers you, which you cannot see now. Remember, I told you, and then I'm going to take the call. I sat in the car with what was going to be my wife. She's 64. We have 64 years of marriage. And I remember, I remember what happened. And I told you that yesterday. But it doesn't hurt to say it now. I met her. She sat in my car. And she had a headache. And I said, yeah, I can take care of that. Because, you know, I'm a hypnotist. So I understand these things. And I said, close your eyes. And then she opened them. And I said, now, your mother's name is this, and your father's name is that. And I gave her a whole lot of stuff. She said, how did you know? Well, I was sitting right there. But she didn't remember me getting the information out of her. You understand that? She didn't see it. Now, I was a hypnotist in those days. That was my greatest interest, and it still is now. Because I understand it, and you never want to go to a hypnotist to a... You don't want to go to a psychiatrist or a hypnotist. I'm an expert at that. But I'm expert enough not to use it, and I'm expert enough to help you understand that you are in a hypnotic state, nearly all of you. You tell me what your problem is, and that's it. But you cannot see what the trigger is. Okay, so now let me take my call. 800-866-8883. So I do owe Marius, I'm glad you called back. Thank you. I'll just listen because I know you. I didn't give you the time. We lost you at the end of the...
Okay. Thank you, Roy. Am I on now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, and thank you for inviting me to call back because I did feel like I needed a little bit more time with you. And I had called to share my experience with the meditation, my initial experience, and how it transformed my relationship with my mother. But something you said to me last night, and I think I heard it correctly, but something you said about that really brought more healing to me with that situation. It was regarding my parents having put that conditioning in me to begin with.
Yes.
You said?
Yes. They didn't know they did it. See, they're clones themselves. So the clone tends to do unto others what was done to him or her. And they don't know they're doing it to you. And they don't know it was done to them. And that's why you have all those problems. It multiplies exponentially. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, etc., etc. We're all clones of our parents. And it began with Paradise Was Lost. I'll be right back. All right. 800-866-8883. Now you got my attention. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We had to do those things.
Yes. So when you said that to me about them, you know, having done that, and I don't know why, but that brought an additional relief to me, because even though through the meditation I was able to give up my resentment and my judgments against them, and that was very liberating. You know,
yes.
I was actually one of those people that was so happy to see what a jerk I had been, you know.
Yes, that's nice.
And I was really happy to see my fault and my weakness in that. And it really freed me.
It does.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And it was a joy. It was a joy to see how wrong I had been, because I didn't realize. I wasn't awake or conscious to what I was doing.
But look, look at the beautiful young lady you are. Look at this. You're just so easy to help. So easy to wake up. See, I wish I could do that to everybody. Mm-hmm. I hope I can, because you're going to help me do it with your experience. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. And that was the intention when I called to share my testimonial. It was that idea of paying it forward, thinking that, you know, it's important to share something like that because it might inspire or at least encourage someone to call and order the meditation, et cetera. However, what I didn't expect was to get so much more back from having done that, because you having explained that to me last night, I feel like a completely different person today. There's a whole new level of healing that's occurred by you making that comment, because that was something I hadn't looked at.
There's more where that came from. There's levels of that.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And because this experience where the transformation occurred for me was 20 years ago, and so here, you know, discussing it with you and sharing, you're bringing more insight. And what I wanted to say is it's probably no accident that you're a master diamond cutter, because I felt that there was another facet added here,
yeah,
and which allowed more light, just like with a diamond,
That's
it allows more light to come through. And so that idea that my parents had put it into me to begin with, it wasn't that, now, you know, I blame them. I mean, there's no blame there, but what is there is like a release of my own guilt, because even though I was able to release the resentment and judgment against them, I still viewed myself on some level as guilty, you know.
Yes,
for having resented them.
I was going to say the same word. Yes.
Right. I felt that I was just a bad little girl. You know, I was a bad child. And I was always made to feel wrong and lazy and crazy.
Did you hear what you said? I was made to feel.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Did you hear that?
Thank you.
There it is.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, therefore, it's not your feeling, is it?
No.
It wasn't. It's not you.
Right. Thank you for pointing that out. You know, it's amazing, the insights upon insights. And so...
Excuse me. What are you saying, David? Oh, what happened? Yes, that's right. But okay. So she's waiting, but I'm talking to Maria right now. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, thank you.
There's so many bumps here.
I do have my sticky wicket too that I want to get to.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But, you know, from that time 20 years ago, I mean, there have been a lot of situations that I know I wouldn't have been able to handle as well as I did if I hadn't had, you know, the experience with the meditation. So it hasn't been 20 years of no problems or trials.
But, Maria, let me say something. What is the driving force of your awakening? Have you ever asked yourself as this far? The light that you say that makes you helps you see your faults,
yeah,
and is a pleasure to use. So you, oh my goodness, I can see them now. Is freedom?
Yeah. Right.
The average person doesn't want it. The average person think that the light, which contains some anxiety, the light is what gives you anxiety, because it like burns,
right,
or it's like the pull on your senses. The motivations, the forces that work that are making you feel like you're worthless and all the rest of it, making you do things that you shouldn't, think things that you shouldn't. This is a pull away from the light, so that so that something unholy gets into the place of the holy. It sits on the holy throne, and in that sitting on that holy throne of your spiritual awareness, the light of God is adjacent to that, and what is sitting there is uncomfortable with that light, and not compatible with the light, and it wants to run away, and it takes you away with it. See that? So the light, it hates the light. It likes it's like dropping the curtain on Dracula, and you see him melting away. Oh, my beautiful wickedness.
Right. Well, and here I find myself now becoming even more conscious. The past week, I had a couple of realizations, and one was as a result of your conversation with Brenda during the Sunday conversation.
Yes.
You've been working with her for a while, and if she's listening, I want to thank her because she's so courageous to be so honest and so brutally honest and vulnerable, and it's helped me so much.
I know. She's a wonderful young lady. But look how broken she's been. Look how many layers there were.
I know. So, I can see the beauty in her. And,
so I do.
You know, that little girl in her. And she was sharing about one of her daughters who said she wanted to die. And you had said to her that it would help if she told her daughter that, you know, that craziness that she feels came from her, and which came from her mother, et cetera.
Yeah, it comes to a chain, doesn't it?
Yes, and then there was another lady who called this week, Leah, and she had issues with her mom, where she had asthma and with the pressures from the mom and pulling on her, et cetera. And I think that I see myself as that mom, and I'm sure my mom did it to me, and I think I've done it to, to one of my children.
You're typecast, weren't you? There it is.
Yeah. And, you know, my daughter is having a lot of problems right now. You know, everything you just talked about in the introduction.
Oh, she's going to be okay. With a mother like you, she's going to be just fine.
Oh, you're so sweet. That's so encouraging to me. Well, it's the drugging, the sexing, the smoking, the drinking, you know, everything you said, the unconscious, the not wanting to see, you know, all of that, everything you said applies. And for a long time, I knew I had some part in it, but I couldn't see it. And
yeah, but when you did see it, it let you go.
It did.
That's right.
Yeah, I was, again, happy to see what the problem was, because as you've said before, I believe, if you don't know what the problem is, then it can't be resolved.
Can I just change the word see and use the word perceive?
Perceive, yeah.
It's a different set of eyeballs.
Yes, it is. It's an inner...
inner light. It's an inner light. It's salvation. You're on the journey to salvation, young lady. Keep it going. Yes? Are you saying I should change the caller? Oh, okay, I see you keep interrupting, so I keep thinking you want me to talk to somebody else. Sorry. Okay. All right. Karen, we're going to keep you there for a little while, because you're very interesting. And all right, go ahead, and you'll forgive me for the adjustments. We have to have you know, we have to cut away from you and play a little music sometimes so the station can do their commercials.
And I know other people are waiting, so I'll be brief.
That's good. Well, you go ahead.
So my question was, well, first let me say this, preface my question by saying that I had talked to you about a dream last night, which brought a lot of healing after that meditation. And
yes.
A lot of my healing comes through dreams very often. And with this particular daughter, I dreamt, this was years ago, that I was at your seminar at the ranch.
Yes.
And she was with me, and you were speaking to someone else there at the seminar, but you were speaking to me through that other person.
Yes, I do that to people.
Yeah, you really do. And what you said was, you suffer pain because you lack trust.
Yes.
And that really spoke to me. And so I wanted to just put that out there as far as maybe
Would you like me to jump on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's faith. And let me see, there is trust and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Trust is what you apply to people. If you trust mm-hmm. them and they mm-hmm. and they betray you,
mm-hmm. yeah.
No harm is done if you don't hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets betrayed somehow. You can't always see it, but how you deal with it. Because what you, in other words, Jesus cried in his last hour. He says, mm-hmm. "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." There it is again.
Yeah.
They're not seeing what they do. They can't see it. And you can't always make people see it.
Mm,
but let me just settle the word trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to trust people. And if they do, if they betray you, let them go because they know not what they do.
Right.
Got it right there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It works works with everybody. Now, when it comes to faith, mm-hmm. you'll have to be careful because you mustn't have faith in people.
Right.
Because faith is centered in God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mix them up, it's reserved for Him only.
Right.
But you see, the trouble is when you trust people, you think it's faith. You have it's almost like a faith.
Mm-hmm.
But it can become a slavish state because if you trust somebody and they betray you, and you and that betrayal upsets you, bang, it gets inside you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And builds on what's already there.
Yeah, I have to always watch that upset, you know, nip it in the bud, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because I see how more destructive that is than the act that someone else committed against you. For example, what I mean by that is that the betrayal is not as destructive as your own resentment toward that, the betrayal.
Correct. Correct. Hold the line. Is that a music I'm hearing? Yes. Oh, she's putting up with this. It's pretty good. But we're having a lot of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, are you understanding a conversation? Does it apply to you? Of course it does. It applies to everybody. 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So I got Maria on the line. Maria, do you know why you're waking up?
I'm sorry?
Do you know why you can be helped?
Oh, why?
And why you are waking up where other people has a lot of trouble about that? Is because you have an intuitive self that loves God.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. You may not know you love God, but it's because you're here in me. You're here in me what you're looking for.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a breath of fresh air.
That's exactly what it is. And you took the words out of my mouth. And I love to hear what you say, and I love you like a dad. And
that's sweet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And this has been really helpful, and I don't want to, you know, hog the time. I just want to ask you this one last thing, and then we
Far
can
away.
Go. So in regard to my daughter and her, you know, little rebellion right now and everything she's
You want to know
into.
How to deal with her?
Yeah.
Is she, how old is she?
28.
Oh, well. you sound like a young a little girl, too.
Oh, thank you.
You have a very sweet voice, like you're like 15, 16 years old.
I wish.
It's a delight to have, you know, on my program.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
It's never been that easy.
Oh.
But you were ready, don't you see? I can see that.
Yeah.
So... Is she cruel? Is she mean to you?
Lately, yes. Yeah.
I sense that you need her love.
Yes. Yep.
And you shouldn't.
Right. Yeah. This is one of the realizations this week.
There it is. You see, because she feels the pull of your need.
Yes.
And you shouldn't have that need.
That's
and
true.
When I finish with you, you won't have that need because the need will be. Is inside you, is a light shining on your problems and making them dissolve.
Yeah.
You sweet little thing.
Right. This is what I saw this week, that she was with her young man friend, you know, gentleman friend, and they're both into the same trouble. And, you know, I was alone at home, and they were not home yet, and I felt myself like pining for them to come home, and I thought, what do I expect two drug addicts to
do? No,
bring
you want to
me?
Feel what they feel, you see? And when
I
you want to feel what they feel, they have to give the feeling to you, and they can feel the pull.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel what, you don't want to be sorry for anybody. Never be sorry for anybody.
Right.
Now, let me make a point, and then I'll go to my next call. I think we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you about life and death. Very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A person like myself, if I may say so, there's a piece of Jesus in me.
Oh, I know that.
I didn't know I had it. You know, it took a long time for me to realize, oh, that's you. I mean, he was always there. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, dear.
A life and death.
Say it again, Ruth.
It was about life and death.
Oh, dear. Mm. Forgot.
And it was about the pull, you know, not to feel the pull.
Yeah, no, that's all done. Mm-hmm. It was something it was something brand new.
Oh.
Well, if it comes to me, you'll hear it sooner or later.
Well, you asked me if I wanted to know how to deal with
Oh, yes, that's what it was. So, I got full recollection now, thank you. I'm old, so you have to forgive me for that. So what you need to do, you've had that problem with your daughter all these years.
Oh, yeah.
And you've never let her go, and she's felt the pull, and she's pulling away. And she's getting angry with you because she feels obligated.
Right.
And her anger obligates her to feel guilty and come towards you. Then she's got to struggle with herself.
Yep.
Because you felt that. You've done that. You've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more you tend to pull on her, and she does not know, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Because you think that's love. It isn't.
Yep.
Love gives her freedom. You should not need any love from anybody because God is love, not people.
Right.
Not your children, not your little kids, not your old kids. They're free. Mm-hmm. And then you're whole.
Yeah.
If you can free them, that's good.
Right.
If you can see the freedom, that's another thing you should see. And then all of a sudden you feel whole again because you've actually seen your need for love from your children or from anybody. And it's the wrong source. And the more you get, the more you want. And damned if you get it and damned if you don't.
When I was a teenager, when I was about maybe 13, 14 years old, I had it was sort of a mystical experience. I remember being out in the playground in the schoolyard, and all of a sudden, it was like everything was brighter. The grass was greener.
Same thing with me.
And I felt no need or no, it's like I had no need unfulfilled. Like I didn't, there was always this yearning inside of me, for, and I think it was for that love that I felt I never had.
Yes, and you've looked for it in the wrong places.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've been programmed to do that by being angry with your parents. You know, we won't go into that because you know about that.
Right, right. And so in that moment, I had that, it was like through the grace of God. It wasn't anything I did, of course. It was just one of those moments that gave me to see how it can really be when you're not attached to any human being and you're just filled with his love. And, you know, I hold
on to that. So what caused you to lose that? Who did you lose it to?
I don't know.
You don't remember it? Was it mom?
No.
Dad?
Yeah, I mean, I had the longing before that, and then I had that moment of grace, and then, you know, the longing after that, but I felt like the light came to show me what was possible. And I've yearned for that, you know, ever since.
But my point is, you were talking about when you were a little girl, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I was a little boy, same way.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, yeah, I kind of knew what was going on. All of a sudden, I'm standing there and I'm all alone, and and the whole world is shining.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to very hard to explain.
I know it is.
I've been that way ever since, though, since I was
really?
7.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to get there.
I remember, I don't remember people, places. I don't have memories for the things that people have memories for.
Mm-hmm.
I reserve my memory. I don't want memories to get entangled.
Right.
Because I only I owe my soul to my Creator.
Right.
And so I have to let Him use my machinery, the brain.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to come through me.
Mm-hmm.
And but there was one person I remembered in all my schooling, which I was a very bad student. Everybody looked like dead people. All the teachers looked like dead people. And so they did. I said, well, here they are, they're talking to me. This is ridiculous. But anyway, but his name was Mr. Brimican. Now, I have a bad memory, but that man, he was the head teacher of the school. Is you know, just an ordinary school for poor folks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the school or where it was now, but I remember him. He was a tall gentleman with a bald head, a little bit of a bald head, nice physique. But there's something about him that glowed, that made him stand out.
Hmm.
And that's what you see in me, and that's what I see in you.
Oh.
Because what is in me is drawing you forth towards the light. In other words, you are letting me go because I am showing you where the light is and you're turning you around. And to look to that which you or we've already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have
right.
to do is for the rest of your life. Tell your daughter, say, I'm very sorry. I got sit down, have lunch with her sometime, and then all of a sudden it'll come up. Don't plan it.
Right.
Don't plan anything.
Okay. She
can see you planning.
Yeah.
See that?
Right. Oh, she's sharp as a tack.
Yes, right.
So
just put it out of your mind. It will come back. It will come back. I know it will. Because if you're making sense, does it make sense to you? Then it will happen. What gives it a sense of worth is a memory of its own, unlike the ordinary memory verses and chapters.
Mm. So
it has a life of its own.
I do best then to wait for the right moment. Then
correct.
And it's
and
okay
you will never know what that is.
Right.
You'll never know where or when.
Right.
But you like the idea. Let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mean to jump in.
Yeah.
But didn't want to forget it. It's because it's your demeanor. It's not just what you say.
Right.
It's how, where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And she could see that. The little child can see it.
Yeah.
But if you are saying the same thing, having not understood this, the child will rebel.
Right.
You don't have no authority. You're just a mother.
Yeah.
You know, you're the problem.
Right.
See?
Well, I was wondering if I should do nothing and let it take its course, so to speak. And if my healing, you know, my realizations now.
Yes, it does. It has to settle in you.
Right.
And at the point of settlement, see, God knows everything at once, but you don't. But in the image of God, you also know everything at once, but you don't know it till he tells it to you.
Yeah.
So that's all you need at once. <That's> always, and it's always right, never wrong.
Yeah.
Never wrong, yeah. Always right.
So do you think it's important or crucial that I do tell her, you know, I'm sorry, I know what I did.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can do what you like. You have to say, and as a matter of fact, yes. So listen, I waited for this moment. When you see that, she sees. She said, I didn't know what I was doing to you. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I had it done to me, and then you can make your own story. Now, I got to go to another caller now.
Okay, Roy. Thank you so much. You're so generous.
You've been a delight. I wish everybody was like that. We could save this country, right, Les? Just like that. All right. We're going to go to Karen in Mass. Sorry to keep you waiting, Karen.
That's okay.
So,
That's okay. I was able to listen.
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. And what can I do for you?
Probably not as sweet as the last caller. I'm doing drugs, and I made the mistake of taking some Benadryl, and I'm a little drowsy, and I'm like, oh, God.
I see.
You know, and I know right from wrong, you know, and I continue to do the wrong. Now, I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm giving up since I've been listening to you, I can't go back to, like, feeling or thinking. I'm not able to escape.
Yes, and that's well said. That's very well said.
With the same level of comfort that the majority of the people around me, my friends, which I think you mentioned that they were fiends, you know, fiendships.
That's right.
People are distancing themselves from me. They don't want to hear about it anymore. And I feel like I'm dying, like I don't have a life or like, you know, I'm giving up.
What did you mean by, you know, what did you say about something no more? What was that?
I'm sorry, what?
Friends are giving up. I guess that's right. They should.
Well, listen, I have to say that I've been attached to this one woman.
Yes, but that's... You don't need them anymore. Don't go away.
Okay.
So what's happening is... The reason why people smoke and drink and have friends is all about what the effect of friends have on you. And the tendency of looking for love from the friends and looking towards their approval of you and loving you and doing nice things for them and them doing nice things to you. This is basically, how can I say it? It's this like... swapping spit. I don't know how to put it that. Because that's what kissing is, basically, swapping spit.
Well, that's what I've been doing with this woman.
Yeah, and you're giving each other mutual feelings. The one who gives the feeling first is the one that becomes a slave. It becomes the extension of another person's feelings, so you really need not to look for feelings and fiends, the kind of friends you had were feeding you and doping you with their friendship or fiendship, and you have become addicted to them, and they really don't care for you, but they only you see that they fall away when you start to become your own person, and all of a sudden you're not playing, you know, swapping spit kind of thing.
I've tried, you know, because the whole country's going for this gay marriage. Everything's okay. It's okay to be gay and everything. And I know right from wrong. I hated you for so long because, you ruined my illusions, I guess. And I can't I don't know. I don't even know if I love God. I don't know what kind of a person I am.
I don't know. I see. Let me say something to you. That's fine. You see, you am what you've been made to be. That's your problem.
You've been
robbed of who you are because of your family and because of the schools and because of the music and your fiends and your friends and your drugs.
In other words,
your addiction.
I'm fighting.
What was that?
I'm fighting to stay afloat.
I'm not quite sure. I don't hear.
Well, I guess I don't want to give up. There's a voice inside me that says.
The voice inside you. Okay, don't go away. I have to have a voice inside you.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Well, is it Maria still there? She's still, yeah. Maria, that voice, what does it say to you? Makes you feel like you're no good or you're worthless? What's it?
That's Karen. My name's Karen.
I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Yes. No. This is Karen.
Yes. Oh, Karen. Yeah, I'm supposed to be.
You've already talked to Maria, I think.
Go ahead, David. I'm getting
Can you
mixed.
Hear me?
I'm getting mixed up here. Sorry.
That's all right.
Well, let me just speak to David a minute. What am I missing, David? Oh. Oh, I see. That's right. We said it so quick, I didn't know what you were saying. But see, you know what happens is you have it on the screen. Okay.
Well, I called you last night.
I got it now. I got it. I just got the wrong name, didn't I?
You said I was a fool.
Yeah, I knew the problem, but I put the different moniker on it. That's all.
You said that I played games and I was a fool and all this stuff and that there was nothing good in me. I thought you said something like that.
I don't remember saying that. But the person I'm speaking to now. Wait a minute, just one second again. The person I'm speaking to now seems like a good, decent person.
Thank you.
Something must have happened. Something must have happened to you.
You know,
I do have that effect on people where sometimes I have to be very sharp with them. Yeah.
I calmed down after I started listening. You know, I was upset when I called and then I talked to David and then I started to hear his program. I started to calm down. I'm just conflicted I just need to calm down. I just want to
make something why I'm speaking to a different person. Because the purpose, the way I help people is to tell them the truth in no uncertain terms. And sometimes I have to be strong. I have to overcome what's inside you. I have to overcome your rejection of what I'm saying. And so I have to use a voice, a tone that outshouts the person who shouted themselves into you. And it isn't the same tone. So some people who listen to my program think me when I'm shouting at someone, being very firm, they think that's my father. No, because they're not sitting where you are and where you were. So I can actually sort of seem to be cruel because I'm being strong but there's a wrong strong and a right strong. And it's coming from a different place, and the right strong overcomes the shouting and the cruelty of the person who strung you up that way. See that?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's you. So when you got a little upset with me, it wasn't really so much upset as I'd sort of killed. Well, it's a killing process. I don't like the word killing, but let me share something with you, since I've the subject matter, because this is affecting all people here. This is respect with all people listening. We all have an identity crisis, and so something of another person was transmitted into you and imprinted you with a identity, and you cannot fight it off. You cannot see what it is, and it could be somebody who loves you and pulling on you and you going along to get along, and then you feel guilty because you begin to feel that the person is pulling on you. They're not so nice as they appear to be, and therefore you feel like dirty, or you feel like you've been had when people love you, but they're using you and sucking your life out. You know, people can love you in such a way they can take all your life away. And once that happens, it's very difficult to stop. You can run away from it, but you run away with a problem. So you run away, and there's another part of that. But you can also feel angry and then come back to to whoever it is, because you're beginning to need them. The spirit of...
Well, I've been going back and forth with this person as far as...
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You're getting it.
And she's, you know, and it's like, you know, it's, and I feel like, you know, I just feel like I'm going to die if I...
You are dying. You are dying. That's what that death is. Everybody dies from what you're talking about. Everybody.
A death or a death? Okay, now how do we, like... Okay,
there's no how.
There's a way. I don't want to like die and go to hell. You know, that's what I'm afraid of.
But I put my finger on the problem just now. So we need to go back a little bit. Who was the person that caused you this kind of behavior to feel you're being pulled on all the time? And you have to serve them and love them, and you're beginning to feel, you're going to feel life draining away, and then you feel life draining away. You see that you're looking for love. You're trying to serve them, outserve them, so they will serve you, and it serves you right, in a manner of speaking. So what you need to do is recognize the fact that persons, because there's certain kinds of people. So some people are sweet and nice, and they manipulate you with the sweet and nice, and some people are really angry and mean, and they manipulate you with that. And I could explain both of them, but the one that is nice pumps you up, makes you feel better, and pulls you away from God. See, and the one that's mean does the same thing with meanness. And so you begin to become addicted to serving that person, because you don't want to get hurt, or because if you think you're guilty because you secretly hate them. Therefore, the guilt, because you're decent, because you're decent and you have guilt, the tendency is to make you go back to the person to try to love them again. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, it's the end of the hour. We can carry Karen over. Yeah, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't preached. I told you how to get to my website, fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. So the one for the website is fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. FHU.com. Support us, please. Thank you very much. This is a very dangerous time. And you see that the manipulators, what they can do to you. If the little guy can do it to you, look what the politicians can. Okay, we'll be right back.